Hello, I'm Sherry House, a missionary living in Thailand who loves to study the lives of great women of whom it can be said, she hath done what she could. Welcome to Silhouettes, my weekly story about a lady whose life challenges, encourages, and teaches me. I hope as you listen today, your heart will be encouraged and challenged too, to do what you can for the Lord. So grab a cup of tea, sit back and enjoy. Let me tell you her story. Emily Chubbuck was born in New York on August 22, 1817. She was born into a poor family, and before she turned 12, she found herself working in a wool mill to help support them. At a young age, she was inspired to be a missionary when she read the memoir of Anne Judson, who was a missionary in Burma. Emily was quite clever and took every opportunity to advance her education, and by the age of 15, she was teaching at a local school. She used all her free time to write poems and Sunday school books and children's stories that were published by a Baptist publishing company. By the age of 19, she had made enough money from her writings that she was able to purchase a comfortable home for her parents. For 7 years, her fame as a teacher continued to grow. She started writing more secular-style articles and stories under the pen name Fanny Forrester, which drew the attention of popular entertainment magazines, and she began to gain notoriety. At the age of 28, she met Adoniram Judson for the first time. He was the famous missionary to Burma and had been one of her personal heroes since her early teen years. He had recently lost his wife, Sarah, and after reading one of Emily's books, decided he wanted her to be the author of Sarah's biography. They met for the first time on Christmas Day and spent many hours together over the next coming weeks. Nothing more can be said but that they fell instantly in love, and within a few weeks they were engaged. Their whirlwind romance was met by opposition on both sides. He was 30 years her senior, and his colleagues felt the worldly author was completely unsuited to be the wife of such an esteemed missionary. Adoniram, on the other hand, connected with her heart that still held true to an abiding faith. Emily's friends in the literary circles felt it was nothing short of piracy for Adoniram to whisk her away to heathen lands when her fame and talent would surely be wasted. Neither Adoniram or Emily cared what others thought, as they loved each other dearly. They were married 6 months later and set sail to return to the mission work in Burma. Emily adjusted to the work of a missionary quite easily and set out to learn the language as soon as she arrived. In no short amount of time, she was holding Bible studies for the ladies, counseling and translating Sunday school lessons, hymns, and other various religious materials. Adjusting to the life of a missionary in Burma, on the other hand, was more difficult, but she handled it with courage and grace. It is said that the house they lived in at Rangoon had hundreds of bats roosting in the rafters, and the house was also plagued with hordes of cockroaches, beetles, spiders, lizards, rats, ants, mosquitoes, and bedbugs. Besides these horrible creatures, from their house they could hear the inhumane actions of the local government officials who particularly hated Christians. At this time, most of their missionary work had to be done in secret. Added to these problems was the stress of their support waning from the churches back home, and both of them being so sick they could barely leave the house. In all of this, though, they never wavered from their purpose of reaching as many for Christ as possible. On December 24, 1847, their first daughter, Emily Frances, was born. By April of 1850, her husband had become gravely ill and was sent back to America in hopes of recovering. Emily was unable to go with him, as it was nearing the end of her pregnancy with their second child. A few weeks later, her son Charles was born and died on the same day. Her husband also passed away just a few weeks into his voyage, but Emily did not find out until August. In 1851, less than 5 years after she arrived in Burma, Emily found herself ordered home to America by her doctor because of her failing health. Once she returned to America, she set herself to compiling materials for her husband's biography. She was able to author 3 more books before she succumbed to tuberculosis and died on June 1, 1854, at the age of 36. She lived a short but full life and is remembered not only for her literary works, but also for the faithful companionship and help she was to her husband in the closing days of his mission service here on earth. Well, you can find out more about Emily Judson on my website, sherryhouse.com. But let me tell you one more quick story from her life that resonated with one of my own. When Emily married Adoniram, she became the mother to his 5 living children. In a letter to a friend, Emily writes, "I do love the dear children that a saint in heaven has left me. I love them for their own sakes. I love them for the sake of one still dear, who had the power to break all the ties which were twined within tenfold strength about my heart. And I love them because they are immortal beings, because for them a Savior died, even as for me. Once her husband passed away and she was forced to return to America, the only thing that brought her comfort was the fact that she would be able to reunite all of Adoniram's children under one roof and be a mother to them. These children, who had suffered many hardships on the mission field, as well as long periods of separation from their parents and then ultimately their parents' deaths, found in Emily a woman who was willing to show them a mother's love. As for me, the Lord did not grant me the opportunity to bear a child of my own. But he has given me many opportunities to show a mother's love to his precious children. There have been bus kids that needed a friendly smile, teens that needed a listening ear, and babies that needed a calming touch. Recently, I found myself sitting next to a pair of identical twins that I somewhat affectionately and somewhat seriously call my Tasmanian devils. I couldn't help but remember the first day they visited our church with their grandma, just about a year ago. She brought them upstairs to the nursery, told me their names, handed me a switch, and gave me her permission to use it. My first thought was, this is going to be interesting. My next thought was, they are so adorable, how could you possibly need to switch them? Well, with a little love and direction, the girls settled in and played quite nicely with the other children. I was beginning to think that maybe the grandma was the problem, and then it came, the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde moment. It was time to go home, and the kids were starting to clean up the toys, and the girls went crazy. It was like a switch flipped. They were running around in circles, grabbing and throwing toys from one side of the room to the other, and laughing in quite an evil, sinister laugh. I was just dumbfounded. It didn't take long for the girls to learn that I wouldn't put up with such nonsense. The past year has afforded me many opportunities to get to know them better, to choose to show them love instead of anger, and to show them patience instead of frustration. I wish I could say I responded correctly each time the occasion arose, but a bond has formed now, and they run up to me and hug me each time they see me because they know I love them. This particular church service, when one of the twins was sitting next to me trying not to wiggle, I laid my hand on my lap facing upward, and she quickly grasped it with her little hand. It seemed to have a calming effect on her, and we sat like that for the duration of the service. As I looked down at her little hand in mine, I was amazed again at the opportunity the Lord gives us to touch the lives of the ones He loves so much. I'm not sure when it starts, this inborn desire to nurture, protect, and care for another human being, but I know it is God-given. Motherhood comes in so many different shapes and sizes. Sometimes the child is born from your very womb, and other times they are born from your heart. Sometimes a child is thrust upon you, and others you seek out. No matter how it comes to be that you find yourself with an opportunity to love a child, take it. It is our greatest privilege to be the earthly vessel sent to them to show them their heavenly Father. In my experience, I have found it goes a long way toward loving a child like Christ loves us when we are willing to do these four things. Number one, accept them where they are and love them without reservation. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." The second one is teach them and be kind to them. Proverbs 31:26 reminds us, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." The third thing is to make time for them and be willing to sacrifice for them. Luke 18:16 says, "But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." The fourth thing is to lead them by example and be patient with them. Titus 2:7 says, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works." So the next time the Lord puts a child in your path, remember the different ways to love the children in your life. Accept them where they are, love them without reservation, teach them and be kind to them, make time for them and be willing to sacrifice for them, lead them by example, and be patient. Well, I hope you've enjoyed today's silhouette and learning a little bit more about Emily Judson's story and this matter of loving a child. She was truly a woman of whom it could be said, "She hath done what she could." Let's you and I go do what we can do.
Silhouettes with Sherry is written and told by missionary Sherry House. To learn more about Sherry, this story, or other stories about women who were used of God, read Sherry's blog at sherryhouse.com. That's SHARI House.com. Silhouettes can be heard at this time every week on this station. Silhouettes is a Causeway Media and Faith Music Radio production.